And now the game where people, after a lifetime of achievement, come onto our show to be reminded of the few areas they didn't learn enough about. It's called Not My Job. Now, when I was a kid, I used to pride myself on my knowledge of history. For example, I knew that the Korean War lasted about 11 years. It was fought by wisecracking, sensitive doctors who wore Hawaiian shirts, sometimes dresses, and were always strangely followed around by an invisible audience that laughed at their jokes.
Right.
Turns out, much to my surprise, that was a TV show, and further, that the doctors were all actors. One of them, in fact, went on to have an extremely distinguished career playing other people, some of them rather mean. He even got an Oscar nomination for playing a villain in the 2004 film The Aviator. We're very pleased to have him with us, Alan Alda. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. He sounds like a great guy.
It is. Yeah, you sound like a great guy. So one of the reasons you're with us today is that your memoir came out in paperback just now.
Yes.
And I was reading it. I had no idea that you grew up quite literally in vaudeville. And
no,
burlesque.
Worse than that, burlesque. You know, there's a big difference. I can't tell how old you are, but from your voice, you sound young enough not to really know what burlesque was.
All right, but you grew up in burlesque. It's an interesting thing. It was very interesting.
Oh, they had naked ladies there. And I would stand in the wings, you know, at the age of 2 and 3 and 4, and they would dance around and take off their clothes and throw them into the wings at my feet. And then the chorus girls would take me upstairs to the dressing room and comb my hair and mother me. And they treated me sort of like a mascot.
Well, I guess my question is, you grew up in this, shall we say...
Wait, like... I'm not done thinking about this.
Oh, okay. You know, you go on in your reverie. It sounds great. Wait.
I mean, just give me a minute.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, now my question is, you grew up in this licentious atmosphere, and yet you've been famous for decades as one of the nicest, most decent, sensitive, dare I say it, men in the world.
Oh, go screw yourself.
No, I read your book, and
I mean it seriously. Go screw yourself.
I
don't have to take this kind of talk.
You're trying to live it down, but it's not going to work.
I have a feeling that's been welling up since the dancer combed his hair.
Yeah. We were wondering about, of course, your extraordinary long run on MASH, the incredibly successful show that ran from 72 to 83, if I'm right.
That's right.
And the last episode, of course, still the single most watched episode of television, of episodic television, I should say.
Well, I think it's the most watched of anything.
Really?
Wow.
I think so.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, so it's extraordinary. And we were wondering about what it's like to be a part of a show for that long. Because, you know, what they say is, you know, the cliche these days is the TV shows, eventually, if they go on long enough, they jump the shark. They go too far.
Mm.
Did you, when you were doing that, when you were into the 7th and 8th and 9th year, were you getting pressure to, like, do something weirder or stranger just to keep the networks interested? Or
no, it was kind of the other way around. In the beginning, they wouldn't let us do things that they thought were improper. You know, they have censors, and the censors, who have a fancy name called... standards and practices, actually wouldn't let us say the word virgin.
Hmm.
So the week that it had to be cut was followed by a show the next week in which Larry Gelbart, the writer, had me say to a soldier, "Where are you from, soldier?" And he says, "The Virgin Islands."
Alan Alda, we're delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
As soon as halftime starts, everybody run onto the field and go berserk.
The Leland Stanford Jr. University Marching Band may be, with apologies to Paul Schaefer, the world's most dangerous band. Certainly, they're the only university marching band to be repeatedly fined and banned by the NCAA. Now, we're going to ask you 3 questions about the Stanford University band. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Ready to play?
I guess so.
All right. Carl, who is Alan Alda playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Ann Gentry of Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Now, the Stanford Marching Band is famous for its non-traditional choreographed shows, which seemed often designed to be as offensive as possible. The University of Notre Dame actually banned the band after they did what during a halftime show? Was it A, sent out a 13-member group in identical outfits called the Irish Twins? B, reenacted the Passion Play while playing the song Hung Up on You? Or C, sent out a nun to conduct the band with a crucifix?
And we claim to be in bad taste.
I think that the third one would play better in a football stadium where you can actually see it from a distance. So my guess is that that's what they'd have done.
Right. Well, your showbiz instincts paid off because you're right. It was C, the nun incident.
That's an early education in burlesque that really aided you in that.
Oh, yeah, there was Fifi La Crucifix. She was great.
So, in fact, the band was banned from performing at Notre Dame. Eventually, they were allowed back in. In 1997, for example, they put on a new halftime show there involving some tasteful potato famine jokes. Turns out, in fact, that making fun of religion is a favorite motif of the Stanford band. For example, there was A, the game at Southern Methodist, with an Inquisition-themed show titled The Auto da Fun. B, the game at Brigham Young University, in which the cheerleaders came out dressed as six women married to the same man. Or C, their home game show on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday, in which they fielded a 20-man shofar band playing the Pink Floyd song Money. Intentionally offensive, remember. So which of these did they actually do?
None of them sound possible to me. The Methodist did not put anybody in an auto de fe.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
What they did, we never thought of it.
Most Methodists don't know that.
What they did was they made them listen to a sermon for an hour and a half. So let me eliminate that. And the second one was dressed
Brigham Young.
Okay, forget that. Let's go for the third one, although I don't even believe that at all.
the Jewish one.
Yeah, that seems preposterous. But let's go with that.
No, I'm afraid it was the game at Brigham Young. What they did was the dolly.
All right, then let's go with Brigham Young.
Too late, sir.
No, I don't care.
No, the band's dance team is called the Dollies, and they came on the field in, you know, wedding outfits, bride's outfits. What do you call them? Bridal
gowns.
Gowns, thank you. And their PA announcer announced that, quote, marriage is a sacred bond that exists between a man and a woman, and a woman, and a woman, and a woman.
You didn't say there was an announcement. You said they were dressed as though they were married to the same man. That's impossible. You can't be dressed as though you're married to somebody. I want a recount. I'm playing for this person, Anne, and the other. Anne is sitting home thinking, what's going on here? They're killing him.
You know, these 11 years in the Korean War has given him some sort of post-traumatic stress.
All right, you have one more question, though. If you get this right, you win. If you don't, you lose. Here we go. Last question. The Stanford Marching Band has enraged some important people, probably the most important of whom was A, the governor of Oregon, who banned the band from games at the University of Oregon after they put on a show criticizing the destruction of the spotted owl habitat by loggers. B, the Dalai Lama, who was reportedly unamused by a show they put on during his visit to Stanford entitled China Has a Monk on Its Back. Or C, the commandant of West Point, who ran onto the field shouting obscenities at the band when they started a routine called Callie's Follies, a musical tribute to My Lai.
Let me eliminate them again. I don't think the Dalai Lama would be upset at the term a monk on his back. And you know, he was a big fan of MASH.
You know what, though?
But he gets it.
That guy's got a short fuse.
Oh, yeah. He does.
Oh. He has a short fuse.
You don't want to cross him.
The Dalai Lama is a great guy. We used to go camping together. I like the governor.
You like that
sounded,
one?
The spotted owl sounds. There's something about it. It just wasn't funny enough as a joke.
You're right.
Uh-huh.
That's correct. The incident happened in 1990. The band wasn't allowed back to the University of Oregon until 2001. Carl, how did Alan Alda do in our quiz?
He pulled it out at the end, Peter. Alan had two correct answers. He wins for Anne Gentry.
Well done, sir.
Oh, thank you.
You were robbed of a Tony Award for Glengarry Glen Ross, but this should make up for it.
What can you get for this?
A sense of worth.
Yeah.
If I didn't come in with one, I'm dead.
Yeah. Alan Alda is best known for his starring role in TV's MASH. He's also appeared in dozens of movies, including The Aviator, Crimes and Misdemeanors, and his book, Never Have Your Dog Stuffed and Other Things I Have Learned, is now out in paperback. Alan Alda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you all.